Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 19th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 22 year A. Our readings today, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Psalm 80, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4b to 14, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise him. The Lord is here, and we will worship him. The Lord is here, and we will trust him. The Lord is here, and we will honor him. The Lord is here, and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we have come because you have called us. We have come in the name of Jesus. We have come to declare the Father's love. We have come because you are worthy. We have come because you are here. Lord, empower us with your Holy Spirit to truly acknowledge your presence and worship you alone. Amen. Lord, you call us to come to you just as we are. You declare that when we come with open hearts and with open lives, you will never turn us away. Yet we also know that only as we focus our hearts and minds on your will and allow you to infiltrate every corner of our lives, will we truly be able to worship you. We long to experience your renewing spirit, your healing grace, and your empowering love. We pray that we might walk in the way of your truth and love. Amen. We have the hymn, You Are the Vine.
You are the vine. We
We pray the collect for proper 22, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Vineyard Today. The Vineyard Today. One of the metaphors used for the relationship between God and the people of Israel is that of the vineyard. This is a picture with which the children of Israel would be very familiar. In the Old Testament lesson today, from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, the prophet begins by singing a love song devoted to his heartbroken Lord. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1a. The beloved is portrayed as a farmer who tenderly and devotedly takes care of his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleaned it of stone and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1b and 2. The farmer provides everything that is necessary and good for his vineyard. Therefore, the farmer's expectation of a harvest of good fruit and an abundance of good wine is not unreasonable. However, when the harvest time arrives, there is great disappointment. The farmer is shocked and extremely disappointed, for instead of grapes to produce fine wine, his vineyard yielded wild grapes, grapes good for nothing but to be thrown away. As the Lord, through the prophet, brings his sad story before the inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah, he laments, "What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it?" Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4a. The people, not realizing that the story is about them and their relationship with God, have no response. Therefore, the Lord, in his disappointment, continues to describe what will be done with his vineyard. The Lord tells the people of Judah and Jerusalem of his plans for the vineyard. All the care and attention to detail that was exercised in creating the vineyard is now to be exercised in its destruction. Isaiah writes, "And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. The vineyard will be left to ruin. It will no longer serve its purpose. It will become like a wasteland. The prophet identifies the identity of the vineyard. It is a metaphor for the people of God, the descendants of Abraham, the children of Israel. The people God rescued from slavery in Egypt entered into a covenant relationship with them. The covenant which said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. The Lord gave them the law to enable them to become a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, a people set apart for God. The Lord protected and provided for them for 40 years in the wilderness, and finally brought them to the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. In spite of all the Lord had done for them, the people of God broke their covenant. Just as the farmer expected the good grapes and only received useless wild grapes, the Lord expected his people, because of their relationship with him, to produce, out of love for God and each other, justice and righteousness. Instead, they produced only corruption, injustice, oppression, and bloodshed. The vineyard did not live up to the Lord's expectations. In our gospel from Matthew chapter 21, Jesus tells another parable about a vineyard. A landowner plants a vineyard complete with fence, winepress, and watchtower. He leases the vineyard to some tenant farmers and goes off to another country. The tenant farmers are responsible for all the operations of the vineyard. However, they are required to pay the landowner an agreed upon percentage of the vineyard's produce. However, when the landowner sends representatives to collect what is owed to him, the tenants beat, stone, and kill them. Then the landowner sent his son. When they saw the son coming, they assumed that the landowner had died. So they decided that if they kill the son, the vineyards would be theirs. They reasoned, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Matthew chapter 21, verses 38b and 39. Then Jesus asks the question, "Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" Verse 40. The chief priests and elders respond, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to others, who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Matthew chapter 21, verse 41. In the parable, Jesus highlights how the leaders of Israel paid no attention to what was required in the covenant. From time to time, God sent the prophets to remind them of God's love, and that they were required to love God and to love their neighbors as themselves. The people ignored John the Baptist, the last of the prophets. In fact, they killed him. And they were now plotting to get rid of the son of the vineyard owner. Jesus warns, if the chief priests and elders do not bear the fruit of repentance, then the kingdom will be given to others who will. We are reminded that our diocesan vision statement speaks of the new wine vineyard revealing Christ to the power of the Holy Spirit. Our mission statement goes into more detail: to give honor and glory to God by making disciples of Jesus Christ, empowering them to live according to the principles of God's kingdom through the ministry and mission of the church, the new wine vineyard. As occupants of the new wine vineyard today, are we making disciples? Are we inviting others into the vineyard? Are we nurturing new believers? Are we sharing our knowledge and experiences of God with others? Are we enabling the vineyard to produce good grapes and therefore good wine? Or is our vineyard, the church, producing sour grapes? We must bear in mind the outcome of wrongful use of God's vineyard. Remember, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. Matthew 21, verse 43. St. Paul reminds us that we must labor for the fruit of the kingdom. And he says, for you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The question is, are we like the children of Israel, not looking after God's vineyard? Or are we ensuring that the vineyard produces good fruit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. Lord of the vineyard, rooted and grafted in you, your church bears fruit to your glory. Nourish and strengthen it for the task you purpose. Tend the vine you have planted. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. Lord of the vineyard, you expect nations to produce the wine of justice. Raise up leaders who will promote conditions in which all may flourish. Defend the poor and weak, the vulnerable and those easily overlooked. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. Lord of the vineyard, you give all people the ability to choose between right and wrong. Guide us in all our moral dilemmas and the new challenges we face. Keep us from evil intent and sliding into destructive ways. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. Lord of the vineyard, you prepare wholesome fruit to refresh and revive us. Quench our thirst for wholeness and healing. Restore us in your mercy and bring us to declare your glory. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing to God with thanksgiving. Lord of the vineyard, you hold before us the cup of salvation. Raise up all who have died. Bring us to share in the new wine of your kingdom. Praise the Lord, for he is good. sing to God with thanksgiving. And as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we have the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Spirit of truth lead you into all truth, give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you today and always. Amen. We pray that you will be reminded that as a laborer in the vineyard, as you labor for God, your labor will not be in vain. Do have a spiritually rewarding and productive week. And we leave you with, "For I'm building a people of power."
For I'm